just want if they need to. This subject is biblical psychology. It's not psychology. It's biblical psychology, and it can lead, some of this can obviously enhance anyone who does psychology. Well, this would be, this really would be a subject that you need. I've got on the front here, you know, low esteem can destroy your dreams. You've probably heard of the definition. Neurotics are people who build castles in the air, and psychotics are those who move into them. Mm-hmm. The psychiatrists are those who collect the rent. Yeah. That's just a bit of a joke, okay? I take it too seriously. But it is, as we go through this subject, I hope that this can be a help, because I think when you look at, if we go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and I'm just going to use this as an illustration. When you look at the Corinthian church that Paul wrote to, the Corinthians are interesting because, as a church, they were a church that had the spiritual gifts. So they were a church that had the spiritual gifts. They're also, if you go to chapter 1, they're also Christians or believers. If you pick it up in verse 1. So when you look at the subject, Paul's writing to believers here, because he says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and so Silvanus, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified, and where are they? In Christ. Called to be saints and so forth. So here we are talking to believers, all right? So you and I are believers. As you know, we are in Christ. God put you in Jesus Christ at salvation. But when you read the rest, as he's reading to these Corinthians, as he writes to them, it's not long before you note some things about them where he says, like if you went down to, say, verse 14, Paul says to them, look, I thank God that I baptized none of you but Cyprus and Gaius, lest any should say that I am baptized in my own name. That means his. I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptize any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom as of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. And what happens here is what they were doing. Some were saying, look, I was baptized by this person, I was baptized by this person. They even got to a point where they said, look, one said, look, I was baptized by Christ. If you go over to, say, if you pick it up and say verse 1 of chapter 3, and when Paul's writing to these believers, he even gets to the point here where he says to them, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, yet ye are carnal. So the carnal, they can't receive what Paul's trying to teach them. Okay, so carnally minded. But if you were to go to, say, in the same book, and you went to, say, for instance, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians, you would find something about these believers here, because he says, now concerning spiritual gifts in verse 1, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. You know that ye were Gentiles carried about unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God called Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administration, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, so that's the capital S, another the word of knowledge, by the same Spirit, to another faith, by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing, by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophesy, to another a discerning of spirits, having discernment. You know, it's funny when every time I think of Mary Magdalene, and like, how many devils did the Lord cast out of her?
Seven.
I always think she's the one with the many personalities, you know. Discerning of spirits, another diverse kinds of tongues. You know, if you can discern stuff, that is a gift.
Yeah.
It really is. If you can discern, then he talks about the gift of tongues, another interpretation of tongues. So one can speak it, but another has to have interpretation. By the way, just make a little note here. You know, in Acts chapter 2, when they saw the covenant of tongues on everyone,
yes.
That supernatural thing,
yes.
And all the Jews came in from all over the joint. It wasn't that the disciples were speaking their language, it was that they heard them speak in their language. Does that make sense?
Yes.
They could have actually been speaking the Galilean, but they could hear their own language.
Mm.
So what I'm trying to say to you is that there's a supernatural understanding of gifts, and the Corinthian church had these gifts.
Mm.
Pretty neat, eh?
Yes.
But they had the gifts. They were in Christ, but they had a problem. Paul could only speak unto them what? Carnally.
As babe,
carnally. So this is an illustration of where I want to take you with biblical psychology. Because how is it that you have saved people who are indwelled with the Holy Ghost, who God has given them the Spirit of God to do many diverse things that they were doing, especially to as a witness to the Jews. But how is it then you have these spiritual people and yet Paul comes along and says, listen, you guys are carnal and I can hardly speak to you because you can't receive it.
Yeah.
Interesting thought. It's a bit of a paradox, isn't it?
Yes.
Isn't it interesting how God can give us gifts and yet in other areas We're totally loony, guys. No, I'm joking. I'm just joking, okay. But, okay, so obviously you have the new man, which is Christ in you. That's Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
Christ in us. He's the new man. And we obviously then have, we have a fallen nature, which is, the fallen nature, if you think about it, is the temple of God. I have a fallen nature, you have a fallen nature, don't you?
Mm.
But you have who? Christ in us.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, so what I want to talk about is this. And to understand what that is will help you to understand what biblical psychology is. Now, biblical psychology is not going to start where you think it's going to start. We're going to go right back to Genesis. And I want to see if I can really get into some really, what would be the word? I love this subject because this is the beginning. This is the beginning of man. Whoops. Excuse me. So where am I to?
The beginning of their problem.
Okay, let's go to, who can, Mark, find me Isaiah chapter 14 verse 12. And then I'll go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel chapter 28. Now I want to bring us right back to the beginning of everything. To understand everything, how it all starts, how where we came from and so forth, we have to come back to Genesis, and we have to come back to Satan. And have you got it, Mark?
Yep.
Okay, what's that, Mark?
How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mounts of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness to destroy the cities thereof, that opened not the houses of his prisoners.
Okay, so you've got Satan, okay?
Yeah.
So Satan is in heaven, okay, his name, what's the name for him?
Lucifer.
He was the anointed cherub, and when you look at the throne of God, now God, we'll just put God like that, we'll just use God as light, okay? The Lucifer is a name given to Lucifer because he was in charge. He was the anointed cherub, and what did he do? What's the thing that he did?
Covered.
Yeah. So he had wings, and they covered the throne. When you think about that, you couldn't get anyone closer than God himself to the throne of God.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in a way, when I think he covers, he's a little higher than God. Would you agree?
Yeah.
And of course, as Mark said, he fell, he falls. But what does Lucifer want to do?
Take everything over.
Exalt. He wants to take over, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Now, Lucifer, I'll read you, or you can go to Ezekiel chapter 28, and another little thing about Lucifer. And to understand biblical psychology, we have to come right back to heaven, right back to Satan, right back to Lucifer, and we're going to start to learn a couple of things about God's creation. Now, when I talk of God's creation, Lucifer, I'm going to use three terms. The first one is the first order. First order. Number one. Number two is the second order. And then number three is the third order. What do you mean? The first order is God's creation of the angels and celestial beings and Satan. He's called the Son of Morning, he's called Lucifer. That's the first order. They were created before man was. The second order is the reconstruction of the earth and us, God made man. When God makes man, we are the ultimate in God's creation. We are it. Okay, and then the third order is that there'll be new heavens and earth. Okay, now who remembers the verse? Do you remember Mung Bing where it says in Revelation it says, "And there will be no more sea." Who can find it? You remember that verse? And I think it's Revelation chapter 22. Who's ever read the verse where it says, "And there shall be no more sea"? There shall be no more sea. That sea is not talking about the seas of the earth, which we'll come to. That sea is talking about this. So you've got heaven. When you think of heaven, what do we sometimes talk about? The what? The shores of heaven. Shores of heaven. So heaven is frozen. It's a frozen lake. It's thought this is where the throne is. Beneath that lake, there's water. That's called the deep. That's where Leviathan was in Job. He was in the deep. There was in that is the universe. And Lucifer was in charge also of the universe. So what you have at the moment, you've got God, the throne. You've got a frozen ocean. Then beneath that, you've got water. Then you've got the universe. Then you come right down to our atmosphere, one or two atmospheres. That's what it looks like. So when Job talks about Leviathan in the deep, he's hoary. He is leaving a trail in this ocean here. Now this is why we're going to come right back to all this stuff, because remember Jesus said to Peter, "I'll make you fishers of men." That's exactly what God does. He's throwing out the gospel, and he takes us back. So whether it's round or whether the universe is this way too, I'm not sure. But whatever there is, there's water around it, and there's a frozen lake. And right up there, if you think about it, you had this fellow called Lucifer. He's the anointed cherub. I read you here in verse 13 of Ezekiel. And now, as being in Eden, the garden of God, so here we're looking at the fact he's fallen. He was in the garden of Eden. And every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz and diamond, the beryl, the onyx and jasper, the sapphire and emerald, and the carbuncle and the gold, and workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. Now I want you to remember, in the beginning God created what? The heaven and the earth. Where do you think that, well anyway, I won't go there. But here is, he is covered with what kinds of stones that we find where?
Precious
stones. We find them here, don't we? So gold and topaz and all those other things there were there before man. Yeah, you could say that. And then he says, so he's covered. Thou art the anointed cherub, the cover. So he's the highest. I have set thee so thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created. I want you just to take a note. When God creates something, it's always perfect. God never ever creates something that wasn't perfect. You know when the little serpent comes to Eve in the garden? Well, he was cursed, wasn't he? Because he was crawling on the ground. He wasn't created that way. He was perfect. By the multitude of thy merchants, they have filled thy midst, and then he goes on. So he was found perfect till iniquity was found in thee. So right here, you have iniquity. It's found where first of all? Where is it found first?
In Satan.
More so where? Where is he?
In
heaven. Sin starts in heaven. Iniquity started with this perfect beast called an anointed cherub. He was perfect in all his ways. He covereth, right? God is light. He has all these beautiful gemstones on him. And some people say that he looked at the light that he reflected.
Mm-hmm.
Now, whose light was he reflecting?
God's.
Did Satan have any of his own light?
No.
No, okay. All right, he didn't have any of his own light. Now, and I'm going to jump ahead a little bit for us. But in the garden, when God made man, which we'll come to, before man fell, what do you think man looked like? Was that Isabel?
Shining.
Shining, amen. Shining. Man was made with a soul. He was made from the dust of the earth, which we'll come to in a moment. God breathed into him and he became a living soul. He was in the garden. He had a body that was made from the earth. Okay. God would come down and walk with him. And while he was in the garden, man gravitated towards God. And he would have looked light. He would look like a being of light, shining out. When he went outside the garden, he died, didn't he? Died spiritually. When the light was turned out, what did Adam and Eve first notice about themselves?
They were naked.
They were naked, yeah, because the light went out. And then they felt what?
Ashamed.
By the way, that's the first time you had the feeling of ashamed in your Bible. It's not in the garden. They weren't ashamed in the garden. They didn't have a feeling of guilt or anything like that. But here's what I will say about the celestial beings. So man could shine. Where's Christ in us? In us? Can we not show our light before men? Yeah, we can, can't we? We can shine it out. If you want to be grumpy, well, we know when you're grumpy, but I'm just saying, you know, you can shine it out. But celestial beings do not have any light. They can reflect it only.
Yeah.
Right? They're two-part. They have a celestial body, and they're made in the image of God by the way that they are a spirit. For Jesus said God is a spirit in John chapter 24. So I want to get a picture here. in your mind, because this is all to do with biblical psychology. Because biblical psychology is when iniquity was found in Lucifer, or the anointed cherub, there was a pride thing in him that he wanted to exalt himself above who?
God.
That was, once he did that, he falls. Now, by the way, when this happens, you and I are not created. This happens before we are created. Now, come back. So let's come over to John. Let's come over to Genesis chapter 1. And Marcus, you, I'm going to pick on you. Can you go to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4 and 7? I'll get you to read there. Just hang on. I'll give you a moment. Go to Genesis chapter 1 for the start with. No, 2 Peter. Have you got that one?
Yep.
Yeah, 2 Peter and chapter 3 and verse 4. Chapter 3 and verse 4. If you guys want to look at that verse later, you can, but just listen to what that verse says.
And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished.
Okay. Now, notice the word then was. Read that out again.
Whereby the world that then was.
Then was.
Being overflowed with water.
Overflowed with water.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Overflowed with water. What did it do? It perished. Okay, so let's come. And wherefore they ignorantly, what does the word say in the Bible, ignorantly?
Willingly are ignorant.
Willingly ignorant. Now, can I just say something to everyone here? This, you know, people are so ignorant, Jesus Christ is coming back.
Amen.
You know what I mean? But ignorantly, they're ignorant of this fact.
Yep.
That the earth that was what? Then, and what was it doing? It was standing in water and out of water. Okay, so let's come to Genesis. Now remember I said to you before, when God creates something, he always creates it what?
Perfect.
At the end of Genesis, he takes a break and sees everything is good. But in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Verse 2, and the earth was without what?
Form
and void. Does it sound like it's perfect? If it hasn't got form, then what is it?
Unformed.
Amen. And darkness was upon the face of what? The deep. And the Spirit of God moved what?
The
face of the waters. Where is the earth? Standing what? In and out of water. What happened? Now listen, you've got to hear what I'm going to say here. The anointed cherub is Satan. We're made a little lower than the angels. In Isaiah, he what? Fell. Do you realize that when Satan falls, he tears everything down that belongs to God? Amen. He destroyed the earth. There was chaos. It was without form and void. It's standing in and out of the water, man. Because God didn't create something like that. God didn't create an earth that doesn't have form. If it didn't have form, you and I couldn't walk on it. Amen?
Yeah.
And that's why it says, they ignorantly, that the earth that was when? Then. Which one? This one. And you've got to get this. Once you start getting this, that you realize that Satan had iniquity found in him. He wanted to rise above the throne of God. He is a celestial being. Bible says that you and I couldn't even stand before him. And all, when he fell, he took everything he could with him to destroy, even took a third part of the angels. It was a third part of two-thirds. Third part of the angels went with him, right? They went where, and which direction did they go? down. Right? Now, what we can understand is that Lucifer was in charge of the universe.
Which is huge.
Now, let me just say something to you. If God can find... If Satan, who is the God of this world, knows that God is in you and I, what do you think Satan would really want to do to us?
Destroy us.
Amen. You got it. So we have to start with the idea that this is the nature of Satan. So he fell. Now, the first order, so there's chaos. That's why the earth is in the mess it's in. That's why 1 Peter says it's standing in and out of water. You say, what water, Brother Simon? I think it must be the water, what we talked about before. I think you have the throne up here. There's an ocean on it. There's a frozen sea. The universe, as we know, has water around us. And then we live in this. Satan's come down. He's destroyed that earth. That was then, far as I can see, is probably being moved out of place. Have you ever wondered how does this earth just sit here? I never understood that. How does anything just hang in space?
Not quite change.
I mean, the funny thing is, you can take the Big Bang Theory, right? The Big Bang Theory says that everything went out this way.
That's right.
Well, what made it stop? What made it just to sort of hang there? There's an other interesting thing too about the hanging there, because how come the moon is just far enough away from the earth that when the sun goes over or the other way around, you get a perfect eclipse?
Yes.
You know, if the distance was wrong, you couldn't do that. So here we have Satan falling. Subjects, the first order and the fall brought everything down with it. So when iniquity was found in Satan, I want everyone to start to think, okay, right from heaven, God kicks Satan out and he tears everything down. It's a downward motion, the reconstruction of the earth, because I'll read you here now in verse 3 of Genesis. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now this light here is not the sun and the moon. It could be the universe we're in. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. So this would be probably to do with this thing here, this water. And there's a division going on. He could be actually making the universe here, could be separating it out. See, here's the problem. We do not know what chaos, what it looked like after Satan fell. Because you've got to understand, the Bible is written to show God's purpose for us. All right? We know, what was hell prepared for? Devil and his angels. Amen? We know that. But the most part of the Bible is written for our purpose, for the purpose of man. Because the reason that is because man is the top of the creation. We are body, soul and spirit. Remember Jesus said, love thy God, Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy soul and all thy mind, and the second is like unto it, to love thy neighbour as thyself. You know, as one man said, you know, he thought it said, hate myself and love my neighbour. And that's wrong. Because we are created, we are the best of the, we are the ultimate climax in creation. Jesus Christ said, don't ever look at yourself lower or above anyone else, because we are, as men and women, created in the likeness of God or the image of God, that we are at the top of the, we're at the top of the creation far as the climax is concerned. There's only one part of God's creation which he can reinstate. And guess who, what that is? Man. Can he reinstate the angels?
No.
What will he do with this earth? And make what?
Make a new one.
The only thing in God's creation that he can reinstate to bring back in relationship with God is man. He can't do it with Satan, he can't do it with the fallen angels, he can't do it with unclean spirits, that's why hell is prepared for the devil and his angels. So far as the earth's concerned, he doesn't reinstate it. Right here he's reconstructing it. Then he goes on, and God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together. In verse 10, and God called the dry land earth, and gathered together of the waters called the seas, and God saw that it was good. So here we have an earth now, it's got earth, it's got seas. So you can imagine this thing now, and God said, I'll let the earth bring forth grass. And the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning was the first day. Now let me just say something here. God puts the grass and the trees and everything on the earth first. You know, we've been recently looking at the monarch of the Lebanon, the trees of Lebanon, and the idea of growth and how plants need, you know, it needs water, it needs light to grow. You realise that everything's on this earth and there is no light? Because watch. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for the signs and for seasons, for the days and years. What do you mean? You had grass before the sun and moon was there.
Sure.
Amen? And that is God's order here. He's reconstructing the earth. He puts the grass there before he puts the sun there. We now live in a cursed world, and this is the problem. We know that plants need the light of the sun to live, don't you? Mm. Why didn't they just die? Well, there was no curse on the earth. There was a difference. Wonder how Jesus made water into wine. Took a water and turned it into a vegetable. How do you do that? But the point is that, and then he goes on, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light. So you look at the order. We won't go through that right now, but you see the order of God reconstructing the earth. He's putting it back. Now the earth's got form. He's putting it back together again. So it's a reconstruction from verse 2. Now when you consider when I read Ezekiel, where did God say Satan was? In the garden of what? Eden. He was in Eden, wasn't he? So here's the earth being reconstructed. And then everything's made after its kind. By the way, can I just say something to you? There is no such thing as evolution. God reconstructed it and he ordered it and he put it in a way that you and I can't understand. It didn't have a curse on it. And also, when he did that, when you consider, when we think of the earth, we only think of age, don't we? We think of time. Here's the real problem with us. In the beginning, there was no time. So how old was the earth when he created? You can't put the word old to Genesis 1. Because old is connected to a period of time. Amen? You know what I mean? So how old was the earth? I don't know, but he's reconstructing it. But there is no time or age until what happens? He puts the moon and the sun. So we live in time. Can you see what I'm saying? Once you step outside of our temporal time, how can you say how old the earth was? Don't know. You say, when did God create Satan and the celestial beings? I do not know. But it's not in our time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It's outside of that time. I know these things can be rather confusing. But there is no. So everything in Genesis 1 is after his kind. There is no such thing as evolution. This would really get people when you say that the earth was destroyed by Satan, then God came along and reconstructed it. Now the first order, is the first order is what? Satan, celestial. First creation. First order of creation, celestial, falls. Amen? Satan falls. Satan's number one thing is iniquity, but that iniquity wants to sit where? The throne. Okay, so, we are talking about biblical psychology, that's important. So Satan will pull down anything that belongs to God. He will destroy. That's the thing to remember. There is no... He didn't leave heaven with shame and guilt. Amen? When man left the garden, he left with what?
Shame,
guilt and fear. There is a difference. Satan does not have a body made from the earth. We do. We're earthy. His body has a celestial body. It was made where? In the heavens. It is a different kind of body. Satan and the spiritual beings are made in the image of God in the fact that God is the Spirit. So once you start to separate, you have to separate the first and second order. Now God is reconstructing the earth, okay? And you run down through, he makes everything after his kind. And so let's come down to, say, verse 27. Verse 26. And God said, now let us. So there's your Trinity. Who's he talking to? Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. All things were created by him. Without him, nothing was created. Talking of Jesus Christ. Father spoke through the Son. Amen. And the Holy Ghost moved on the face of the waters. Let us make man in our image. So here we have not just in the image as God as a spirit, but let us make man in our image. Here we have the idea is that we are three parts. Okay, our plural. After our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish, over the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over all every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, let me just get something in order here. Man is to have dominion over what? Creation.
Yeah.
True?
Mm-hmm.
We have it around the wrong way now. Creation is exalted above man. Man was made to have dominion over creation. We have a disorder now. Creation has come above man. That's what Romans 1 says, where they worship the creature more than the creator. Who do you think would exalt the creation above man?
Satan.
Because what does Satan want to do? Exalt. Exalt. Take over. Wrong order. I'm going to be quite blunt with you. If Woody had died the other day, it wouldn't have worried me. I'm serious. His little spirit would have left him. I know that sounds horrible. But I'm being honest. He does not have a soul. I would miss that character, though. I would miss the character. But I'm just being bluntly honest with you. I'm just being... We've got it around the wrong way. The animal kingdom, we are to have dominion over. The earth... Now here, listen to me. The earth, the second... the reconstruction... The second order, God made the earth for who?
Us.
Us.
Yes.
It's not above us.
No.
It was made for us, and God said, we'll have dominion over it. God created man in his own image. In verse 27, the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. I want you to understand something here, is that Moses wrote the book of Genesis. Now right here, Eve doesn't come along till chapter 2. But I want you to notice something. We are made in God's image, but that was not completed. Please hear me. That was not completed till the female was there. Till the woman was there.
Yeah.
Notice what the verse says. For God created man in his own image, man meaning plural, in the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. You realise that we are made in the image of God, but if it was just Adam alone, it's not a complete image. Because you think about it, a male has certain characteristics, a woman has certain characteristics. Isn't it true that when you get married, it's supposed to be completion?
Yes.
That's the idea. So, you know, when you get into all this nonsense where you have, you know, all the feminist movement,
yeah.
What's Satan trying to do? He's trying to take things out of order. No, listen, the man and the woman are equal. We're not made in the image of God till woman came along. I really got to stress that. Because that order gets out of, that gets the order. I used to think, you know, oh, God just made man.
Yeah.
You now, the male chauvinist. True?
Yeah.
And woman is just from the rib.
Yeah.
Isn't that how some people teach it?
Yeah.
No, the Bible doesn't teach it that way. We're made in the image of God by the completion of man and woman.
Mm.
Take that in note.
No,
take that in note, because we have all kinds of worldly doctrines that teach a whole lot of nonsense.
Yeah.
By the way, Jesus Christ said, love thy neighbour as thyself.
Yeah.
He didn't say put yourself as a man or a woman below that man or woman, but he didn't say put yourselves above that man or woman, but love that man or woman as yourself. Why? Because here's the reason why, because we are created... As in the climax, this is the climax of God's creation. We are the best. Okay? We're not only the best, we're the only thing in God's creation that can be reinstated back to God, because we do know man falls, okay? But there is nothing else in God's creation that can be reinstated. See, when God made the devil and angels, he had to prepare a place for them. Couldn't reinstate them. They had fallen. And we'll go through that, how God uses them till that final judgment day and that sort of stuff, but we won't run through all that yet. But these are important things. So remember, man and woman, they're in the image of God. Not man alone. It's man and woman. So therefore we learn a lot more about God. God is right. So we have reinstatement, order restored. Just come over... I'll read you if I can get there. Titus 3:5. I might even mention this note. I'll just read you Titus 3:5. But in Titus 3:5, the Bible says, if I can get there, uses the word regeneration. This is after the fall. This is after man has left the garden, which we'll come to. Who's got Titus 3:5? You got it, Mark? You got it? Isabel got it? Come on, you electronic nuts.
Get there quick.
Hey?
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy in faith, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, so notice the word regeneration. Regeneration means to bring back life again, isn't it?
That's right.
That verse can only be applied to man. Now we can see it in a temporal sense. We can see it in the way that when you see a drought, what happens? The rain comes and everything gets regenerated. What are you laughing at, Marcus? I've done something wrong, I can tell. By the way, this is what these two would do. They'd sit there and laugh at me. And I'd say, okay, guys, tell me, what is it? What have I done? Okay, so there's a completion in creation. So here's the idea, order. Order is important. Earth reconstructed. Earth made for man. Man to have dominion. The image of God is not completed till man and woman together. Amen? That's why it's put that way. It's important to keep that in mind. It's very important to remember that too in your, you know, when a person doesn't feel worthy. Well, you can feel worthy because you're made like every other man and woman as well. Amen? Think about what I'm trying to say. There is no such thing as an unequal thing here. I understand there's different abilities, but we're not unequal. A male and a female are equal, yet we can have different roles and we can do different things. That is not always that. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply and replenish the earth, and subdue it. Okay, so notice he says, right man, I want you to be fruitful, I want you to replenish it, I want you to subdue it, and have dominion over the fish and seas and so forth. Can I just say something here? Who has lost dominion at this point of time? Satan. Lucifer would have been in control of the universe. So who does God give now dominion to?
Us,
man. But do you think that might make Satan just a little bit mad, amen? Especially when you get to Revelation 12:12, when he knows he has but a short time. And so when you consider that. So man, really, when you look at man as us being created, we're not celestial beings. Come over to Job chapter 38, Job 38. What time is it? Job chapter 38 and verse 4, I think it is. As long as I've got the right verse here.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he says in verse 4, "Wherefore wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth?" Now this is God speaking to Job. Now I want you to understand something about Satan as I come into this. You remember the book of Job, Satan turns up to Job and says to God, will Job serve you for nothing? Remember that?
Yep.
Now, I want you to remember, Satan is accused of the brethren. Now, what God allowed Satan to do was to touch Job, but he wasn't allowed to take his life. But I want you to think with me for a moment. When Satan went to God, he was trying to change God's mind, how God thought towards man, in this particular case, Job. In other words, he wants to change God's mind about you and I. So Satan would want to change God's mind about first creation as men and women. He'd also want to change God's mind about us now as being sons of God, which it's not in this verse, as being the children of God. He's the accuser of the brethren.
Yeah.
He will go to God and say, listen, your child down there did this and that. Trying to change God's mind. If Satan can change God's mind, what's Satan's goal?
True.
That God would judge us.
Yeah.
True?
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to do. Destroy us.
Yeah.
He's the accuser of the brethren. But notice here, first order. So when God is speaking to Job, he says, well, you weren't there when the foundations were laid. Who have laid the measure thereof, if thou knowest, or who have stretched the line upon it? Whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? Notice, when the morning stars sang together, and all the sons of God shouted what? For joy. Or who set up the sea with the doors? And he goes on. Notice here that the morning stars sang together, and they were, what were they called? Sons of God. Who are they?
Angels.
Yeah. Celestial angels.
Yeah.
And they worshipped God. They sang to God. Think about that. But what are they called, everyone? Sons of God. That's what they were called. Not us. They were called the sons of God. They fell, first creation. In the book of Luke, which we'll come to, we'll see how far we go this afternoon. I won't go too much further. Have a look with me I think it's Luke chapter 3, just with me for a moment. Maybe I'm just getting ahead of my... Hang on. Who can go to the last verse of Luke chapter 3 for me? Just to... So we don't go too long this afternoon. Okay, I'll read you first of all the creation of man. So after, in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 2, "And the Lord God formed man," so notice the word formed, "man of the dust of the ground." The earth was without form and void. "Man is formed from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul." So man's body is made from earth. We have a living soul. "And the Lord God planted the garden in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree in its pleasant. So now we get into the Garden of Eden, and we will not go through there. Who's got the last verse in Luke chapter 3? I hope it is chapter 3.
Which was the son of Adam, and which was the son of God.
Okay, so from Mary's genealogy runs right back to who?
Adam.
Now, we are called the sons of God. Now, I'll go into this next week a little bit more clearly. We are called the son of God. Adam was called the son of God. The angels, first order, they were called the sons of God. Man, we are all called the sons of God, whereby one sin entered into the world, and there is only one true son of God, Jesus Christ. It's called the son of God. There's three, okay? So there's three sons of God. We need to remember that. And right here, so man was made a living soul, that when we were created, what did God call us? Sons of God. Okay, angels were sons of God. Man was called sons of God. Okay, in the garden, they were light. They had beings of light. They had an earthly body. In the garden, I want you to understand this, in the garden, they gravitated towards God, because God would come down. When man left the garden, which we'll come to, man then gravitated to what? What's that? Yeah, earth. Gravitated to the earth. And I'm going to show you that. What do you mean, gravitated to the earth? Why? Because our bodies are made from the earth. And we died spiritually, and we started to gravitate back to the earth. That's why he says, ye are carnal. Carnally minded. We gravitate back to the earth. You guys are Christians. What happens, what's it like when you're walking on the, on say, the Mount Transfiguration? Amen? When you're up there with God, amen? When everything's just good. Which way are you gravitating? Towards God. Upward, amen?
Yeah.
When man falls, he's taken out of the garden, which way is he going to start to gravitate?
Downward.
Okay, so watch. Satan's fall is downward. Amen? In the garden, we have a body, soul and spirit. Our body and soul are in perfect harmony with God. Our spirit is alive unto God. We are beings of light, and we have been given dominion over the earth, and our gravitation in the garden is towards God. So God says to Adam, in the day that you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, what will happen to you?
Die.
So when you die, which way are you going to go? Gravitate back to the earth. Now, he didn't say your life dying, he talked spiritually dying. So you're gravitating which way, everyone?
Yeah.
Down. You're gravitating down. So in the beginning, when Satan was above the throne, he was where? You couldn't get any higher.
Yeah.
He wanted to get higher. The only way to do that was to get rid of God. When God chucked him out, he went what? Down. He destroyed everything with him as he went down, okay? You and I are created from the earth. God gave man an earthly body. He gave the angel a celestial body made in the image of God as a spirit. God is a spirit. So you and I have an earthly body. When we died spiritually, we went down. That's why David said, set my feet upon a rock. He lifted me out of the miry clay. What's he talking about? He lifted me up to gravitate where? Back towards God. So you get the idea? So we have an earthly body that gravitates which way? Down. Down. Back to the earth. That's why people are earthy. Now, let me say something. When you gravitate back down to the earth, you're heading down. What do men do? What do they put above themselves, which they should have dominion over? The earth. The earth. In Genesis, we were to have dominion over the earth, true? And I'll come into the fall of man next week, the next time we do this. But understand that we had dominion over the earth, and the earth was made for man. When we're in the garden, we were full of light, we gravitated towards God. When we fell, we gravitated back to the earth because God breathed and made us from the dust of the ground and breathed into us a living soul. So we gravitate back to the earth. When we fell, man went back down this way. Now, understand that we can be reinstated by the salvation, amen. We're the only ones in God's creation that can be reinstated back to God. We'll come to that later. But when man fell, where did the order start to change a little bit? Instead of having dominion over the earth, what's happening? They're starting to exalt the earth above what? Man. You know, I just about fell over dead when Jan and I went to I think it was in Houston, Texas, I can't remember, it was called the Johnson Space Station, I think that's what it was called. And we went around, you know, they had all the, you know, little things, the moon landing, all that kind of stuff. And we went around, that's where they did all the first moon landing, and enormous place, they had about 14,000 staff in this place. But we went into the IMAX theatre, which I was really looking forward to. They actually had taken us right up to it's about 18 stories up, where, you know, you see that control room where they, you know, when they're trying to land that lunar module and all that kind of stuff. But you know, the thing that really shocked me is that the first thing that NASA said, our statement of faith is to save man, to save mankind. I just fell off my chair backwards. What's man done? We've fallen back to the earth. What's happening? We're trying to save the what? Creation. And that's why Romans 1 says that they worship the creature more than the creator. Because when man fell, he gravitated. When man left the garden, they had shame, which will, you know all that obviously. They had a feeling of guilt and fear. They did not have that in the garden. We're going to stop in a second so we can pick this up next time. But I want you to understand with Satan, when he fell, there is no remorse. There is no guilt. There is no shame. There is nothing in this being. He's actually what the Bible calls a wrong being. He's a wrong being now. Because if it's not only for the grace of God, he is restrained from doing this. If he recognizes God's order in anything, he goes about to destroy it. If he finds God's order in anything, he goes about to destroy it. In the garden, there was one order, one command that God gave man. You say, Brother Simon, why did God give man a command? Well, because God has a free will. And sometimes you see in the Bible, it repented him that he made man. If you can repent, that means you have a free will. Satan has a free will. So does man. You have a free will. I think I lost my place. We have a free will. So man, where was the last bit before I said that? I've got your disease. I have no excuse, Graham. I have no excuse. You do, but I don't. Excuse me. Okay, so man's going down. Okay, we're creating the earth. We put the earth above us now. We have a free will. I'm just trying to think what the part was that I'll come to next week. But the thing is this. Oh, yeah, that's right.
So that's a command.
Yeah, so God gave... That's it. Thank you. Thanks, Ezra. So God has an order in the garden. This is the only order that God's ever given man, or a command that we must have kept to stay in fellowship. You know, to trust Christ is not a command. I suppose it is, but in that garden, that situation, what they call it, there's a one order, right? As long as man had a free will and he didn't take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he gravitated towards God. When Satan is in Eden, what do you think Satan is going to attack? God's order. What do you mean? What do you mean? He's going to attack man's order.
Yeah.
He's going to attack God's rule.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah.
Because because he's going to attack God's rule, because if God gives man a command, the one commandment only, who is the ruler? God is. True? God is the ruler. Think about it. Once Satan recognises God's rule in anything, even us now, you've got Christ in you, that's God's rule in you. As soon as he recognises God's rule in anything, he attacks it. So he said to the woman, yeah, have God said.
Yeah.
I'm going to attack the order. I'm going to attack the order that keeps man in fellowship with God. We'll come to that. So Satan, as a fallen being, always wants to attack where he finds God's rule. You say, why, Brother Simon? Just remember, because who's on the throne? God is. Where does Satan want to be? On the throne. And anything where he sees that God is preeminent, and anything where he sees God is in control, in anything where he sees God's rule there, if he sees anything that resembles God in any way, like or shape, he attacks. And he's called the accuser of the brethren. He was there in the beginning. You understand that he is night and day accusing us to God in heaven. Night and day. Did you see what they did? And God looks at the Son and says, I don't see anything but blood.
Yeah.
Amen? I don't see anything but the atonement. Satan, go away. We'll continue this but if you get those little rules down, get them strongly in your mind, the order of things, the reconstruction of the earth. Satan is a wrong being. The only one that can be reinstated to God is man. All other temporal things, the earth, the universe, will be done away. And when the Bible says at the end of Revelation there shall be no more sea, you actually then have a perfect harmony where you have God and man living together forever. There is no separation. There is no ocean. There is no water. There is a new universe. There's a new heaven and earth. And God and man are together as it should be. That's the third order. Unfortunately, there's about 6,000 years or 7,000 years between those two.
Yeah.
So anyway, we'll finish there. You can kill me later, okay?